This is Project Independence and You, and we've been talking with Hal Spielman of Suddenly Solo. Hal, we're now going to be talking with Beth Lilac. She is the Senior Director of Education and Community Affairs at the Holocaust and Memorial Tolerance Center of Nassau County. Beth, you're going to be talking to us today, I think, primarily about...
No, I have a question first.
You have a question first?
Yeah,
sure.
How'd you get such a nice name?
Oh,
Lilac.
Thank you.
What a nice, lovely name.
That's such a nice way to start the morning. First of all, thank you so much for allowing me to come here and speak to you and your audience. Really important show, so
yes.
Thank you for this topic. I changed my name many, many years ago.
Oh, and well, it was a good choice.
Thank you. I wanted a name that was Hebrew and was related to purple.
I see. Oh.
For a few different reasons, so thank you.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. That's okay. We're having a conversation here, so.
Yes.
Beth, what are the signs of senior bullying? We're just going to get right into that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Memorial Museum and some other things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you think about bullying, of course, you think about children,
right.
What goes on at school.
Right.
You know, you're kind of alerted to the signs in children, what to look for,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they come home and they're cranky or they're not engaging in things they once engaged or maybe not going to, you know, their grades are going downhill.
Right.
How do you kind of recognize that in a senior?
Excellent question. In many ways, it's exactly the same symptoms, and then there are others also.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more complicated because not all seniors live with somebody or see people on a daily basis. It depends on how isolated they are to begin with. But the symptoms, you know, also include isolation, depression, lower self-esteem, and in extreme cases, it could be suicide ideation. If there's if it's a violent form of bullying, then of course there's going to be injuries.
But right. where would the bullying occur?
It can occur from many different avenues. It could occur from family members, which is generally the number one perpetrator. It can occur also from healthcare aides, which is also either number one also or a close number two.
Is this mm-hmm. Healthcare aides
that would come to their
living in a residence or
either living in a residence or come to the home if there's no one else around. It could be from medical staff when they go to different appointments. In terms of intolerance and different types of harassment or bullying, mm-hmm. it can be almost anywhere that the senior goes, shopping,
right.
Even buying a ticket at a movie theater. You know, people treat elderly people, some people treat elderly people differently, as
right.
if they're not as smart as they are or as worthwhile as they are, don't deserve the same type of rights that they do. So, unfortunately, it's from all aspects of society.
Right.
Even just what we see in the media.
So it's across, it's men, it's women.
It's men, women, all ages, all economic levels.
Right.
You know. And unfortunately, it's not something that any of us, you know, can really avoid at some point
right.
because we're all going to get older.
Right.
And unless there's a massive change of perception about elderly people, there will always be some form of intolerance against elderly.
Are there forerunners that indicate people that are more likely, that is the personality of the individual, lends itself more likely to
be bullied? No, it's nothing that a victim ever does or doesn't do to cause bullying. It's the perpetrator. It's
right.
the bully. Where that is coming from. The victims of whether bullying or victims of any other type of harassment or violence never ask for it, never do anything to cause it. It's always in the mind of the perpetrator. So there are ways to protect yourself. There are things to do after the fact.
Right.
There are things to do during, especially from bystanders, which generally in any bullying situation, but unless it's an isolated incident in a place where there aren't any other people, bystanders make up at least 95% of the you know, of the onlookers, of the group, of the people that know that this type of injustice is going on.
Right. So it almost sounds like it's more, I don't want to say taking advantage of a situation. There's like an opportunity, like we were talking before, for mm-hmm. someone who might be a little bit older, a little frailer, lives alone in
right.
fear.
Right.
And they fall victim to people who are looking for this opportunity.
Right.
You know, in another way, too, mm-hmm. Beth, we recently had a vignette that we're putting in one of our Project Independence newsletters about a situation in a nursing home where someone, a woman, she was 90, 95 plus, cognitively terrific, but frail, and she wasn't the younger, clickier kinds of, you know, people there were not including her because mm-hmm. they made assumptions that because of her age, her advanced age, she really wasn't going to be able to do bridge or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So, you know, our Project Independent social worker went in mm-hmm. and talked to the staff a little bit about it to kind of let this woman and her family know what the options are there for, you know, for her interests. So, you know, involving the staff, because it, like, if she doesn't say anything, you're not going to know. But there was a granddaughter who recognized what was going on, and it wasn't acceptable. So, you know, they contacted us.
Excellent.
So what seems to be very key is having a person in the middle that can help to bridge that gap that it develops simply as an impression. Oh, they're old, therefore inept, which obviously is not.
Right.
Not
and right. Oh,
that was
sorry.
A question I was going to ask you too, mm-hmm. Hal, is how does someone else, maybe it really is in as someone else to recognize what's going on and to kind of label it and then kind of intervene.
Yeah.
How do you resolve it?
Okay. All right. There's a whole bunch of great
right.
points you just made. One of them was in terms of having an advocate, having a
right.
you know, a third party
yeah.
intervene. That's an excellent solution or possible solution.
Right.
But even before that, I think a lot of elderly people or a lot of bullied people, whether it's seniors or even children, number one, they don't always know what resources and assistance is available. Number two, they don't always feel empowered to do something or to stand up for themselves, because being bullied chips away at your self-esteem
mm-hmm.
or can devastate your self-esteem. And in terms of this visual judgment, this prejudice based on either appearances or assumptions, one of the best examples to counter this and to you keep in the back of your head, so the next time you see yourself or feel yourself falling into this, you can't judge somebody by the way they look, what kind of abilities they have, what kind of age. If Stephen Hawking had been born during the Middle Ages or the 1900s or, you know,
yeah.
some earlier decade, people would probably have institutionalized him
mm-hmm.
once he, you know, got to the point with his illness. And yet we know he's one of the finest minds on the face of this planet today. So, you know, you cannot judge somebody on their frailty or what they can do, what they can't do physically. And there are wonderful resources out there
mm-hmm.
for elderly. And there's also some, in terms of the bystander or in terms of the person who sees something happening and walks away, there's been studies shown that there's actually more damage, more harm done to the bystander than to the victim, because the victim is feeling fear.
Mm-hmm.
The bystander, whether consciously or unconsciously, is not only feeling fear that they could be a victim, but also
guilt.
Shame,
guilt.
Consciously or unconsciously,
yep.
and guilt that they haven't
yep.
done something. So if for no other reason, be selfish and do something, intervene in the case of someone else being hurt, because you're helping yourself.
Right.
I like the phrase, see something, say something.
Right.
Do something.
Yeah.
And if, you know, there's all
right.
things, all different things you can do safely and effectively if you don't feel safe at that moment to do something. There are also other really interesting studies from Yale University.
I've heard of that.
Yes, some people have.
I've heard of that institution.
That have shown that the better, healthier perception you have of elderly, then the longer you actually will live. It, you know, when we internalize intolerance, when we think of elderly people as less than, as when we get older, we have become that person. So our self-esteem unconsciously has already dropped. And the study has shown that people will live on an average of 7.6 years longer and healthier if they have a positive outlook on seniors,
well,
on elderly.
Wow. Our fastest growing population is certainly our senior population. Mm-hmm. I mean, with baby boomers, I don't know, it's like something like 6,000 people turning 65 each day or each week.
I'll give you a little bit. I know from the work we do with single mature single, according to the census, there are 19 million people over 55 that are single.
Do you have someone for my mom? Can you
help me? Hal, that question goes to you.
Me.
Here's his card right here, suddenly solo.
One of the things that I'd like to comment on that was brought up during your earlier portion of the radio station, of the program, when you're talking about the scams against elderly.
Yeah.
And you may have said it before I walked in here and started listening, but people that are elderly people that are scammed in some way need to remember it has nothing to do with their intelligence. It's
right.
Nothing personally. It's just that these people have taken advantage of you. My mother lives with me. She's 76, and she's incredibly intelligent, retired, but very intelligent. In the past 6 months, there have been three different times where she's called me at work because of phone calls that came in that were completely, you know, scam-related.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We're on the Do Not Call registry, which, of course, is not 100%
right.
Effective. And, you know, she was very concerned because they use some of the typical things that this is the IRS and your daughter hasn't paid her taxes and she's going to jail unless you send us X amount of money.
She deserves to go to jail.
Or this is ARP and your health care is at stake if you don't send in payments and et cetera. And, you know, you gave such great solutions. And one of them is, you know, hang up. And call the organization, call ARP, call the, IRS will never call you, but call the organization at their legitimate number and find out what the situation is.
Okay, Beth, we're going to take a short break, and we ask that everybody stays tuned to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.